Okay, welcome once again to another Throttle Up Radio show and podcast, and I'm your host, Captain Kevin Smith, and I am glad to be here along with my great audio engineer for another Throttle Up episode. What are we talking about? We've been talking about the same thing for a long time, right? We've been talking about think like a fighter pilot. Why do we need to do that? Well, I think it's pretty obvious why we need to think more like a fighter pilot and less like some other actors on the stage of life. So, one of the things that we are focusing on right now in a number of venues, I guess we could talk about my Substack. I have a Substack. What is it called?
You write for Substack.
My audio engineer is helping me clarify this stuff. I'm kind of stumbling over words, but I write for Substack on a regular basis. I would say this probably weekly basis. I write for Substack. I also have other books out there as well. The Sonic Warrior Chronicles of a Top Gun Pioneer, and a new book chapter. It's Human Factors and Simulation and Training. And let me say that again. This is a little bit unusual in the publishing world, but it's not unexpected. There is a edited textbook. Now, there is such a thing as an edited textbook, and what it basically is this. The textbook contains various chapters, and each chapter is authored by a different author. Okay, so that's what an edited textbook is. The title of this textbook is Human Factors in Simulation and Training, published by the Taylor Francis Group. I'm hoping that I have that correct. The it's also called CDC Press, and so yes, I'm a little bit confused about the publisher. I apologize for that, but sometimes it's this stuff is a little hard to keep track of, because I have a number of books out there, and I work with a number of publishers, but I'm pretty sure it's the Taylor Francis Group. I think they're headquartered in London. Is that correct? Don't know. We're going to say that they are, in fact, headquartered in London, England. Okay. And so they're a great group, and so we have a new chapter out that is just been released, or will be. August 30th is the release date, and our chapter is Volume 2, Chapter 2, I believe, is the chapter that I have written. So I'm the author of that. It's kind of a big deal. For us, I think it's a big deal across the board. We do talk about some key aspects of human factors and what does it mean? How do we deal with it? Why is it important in our lives? And why is it important in the lives of the people who are out there performing activities? If you're one of those people like me that are out there performing activities, no matter what they are, having a working knowledge of human factors is particularly important. So this discussion today will be, in the general sense, it's about human factors, right? What do humans do? How do they perform? How do they perform well? How do humans optimize their performance? If we're dealing with a human activity, which could also be employing other resources, right? It could be employing high technology in the course of a particular operation or mission. Often a military operation or a military mission employs a considerable number of high technology components as well as human resources. And, you know, that's kind of a good starting point for our discussion if you want to think of it that way. In my experience and in my specialties and disciplines, we were always involved in some kind of a flight operation. Okay, airborne. It was some kind of a flight ops or flight operation activity. Also, we could call it a mission. In a lot of cases during my military career, we were engaged in air combat exercises. So aerial combat became our bread and butter, and we had to deal with that in some kind of a meaningful way to achieve mission success with respect to the airborne battle space. Okay, so that's where we are. Now, what exactly is it about this human endeavor or human factors, right? So what exactly does that contain? Now, it contains a lot of things, or it involves a lot of considerations. And I'm going to go out here way off outside the box, but of course that's the whole point of this radio show and podcast, is to think outside the box, and that's what we do. And we do it unapologetically, okay? Not going to apologize for it. It's just the way it is, and this is what we do. One of the things that is way, way outside the box is a human performance activity or a human performance model that we call outcome projection, okay? Is it central to a human activity, or is it central to a cognitive human activity? Yes, it is. Humans can do such a thing. And when the human is properly trained, they can do it particularly well. How do they do it? They employ intuition and innovation primarily. Intuition, innovation, and looking at things from a future perspective. All right, so we're going to have a question or a comment, if you will, from my great audio engineer as we begin our discussion of this whole subject related to human factors, which we call outcome projection. Here goes.
Hello, Kevin, and hello to your listening audience. Okay, today's question or topic, so to speak, you often mention outcome projection as an important human cognitive activity. Could you explain that, please?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Outcome projection. What exactly are we dealing with? We're dealing with the ability to look into the future. Okay. We have, and I've also said it this way, it's to be able to predict a future situation from a set of current events. All right, so let me kind of restate that again very slowly and carefully. The ability to predict a future situation from a set of current events. How in the world do you do such a thing? All right, do you wait for more data to come in? Do you ponder and delay any current action until such time as you accumulate more data? And the answer is no, you don't do that because you can't. Okay, we are actually part of a moving target. All right, literally, Right. We are part of a moving target. We are moving through time and space. What is it? Well, we happen to be in the atmosphere. So we're going to take this from the perspective of a fighter pilot or a professional aviator, if you will. And those those terms apply. We are actually moving through time and space. In some cases, it's pretty rapid. We are moving quite rapidly because we are operating at high velocity. If, in fact, we are, you know, interested in the Top Gun Maverick movie, if, in fact, we are more or less mesmerized by the Top Gun Maverick movie like I am, then you begin to understand what's going on within this dimension. All right, within the world of a fighter pilot, what exactly is going on? Well, we're moving rapidly through time and space. That's what we're doing. Okay, we are on a platform. We are on a trajectory. What is that trajectory? It goes by a number of names. It goes by the term velocity vector, if you will. Okay, it goes by that term. It also has to do with where are you in within the time-space continuum. Where exactly are you? All right, so we can actually locate that point in time and space, but in order to do that, we have to actually freeze time. Okay, and if you're not going to freeze time, then what exactly is going on? Outcome projection has a lot to do with the fact that we are rapidly moving through time and space, and because of that, we are experiencing what is called time compression. What exactly is that? Well, we talked about that a lot on the show. And in other writings that I have done, other published material, right? The situation is this. We are operating under increased time compression because we are traveling at a very high velocity. All right, that's the situation. So we can go through the list of things that are a part of this reality. We can go through that, and we will step through that rather quickly. I don't want to get overly detailed here and introduce some boring subject. I want to keep it lively and light and interesting, so I'm going to do my best to do such a thing. But if we are going to consider a key aspect of human performance, which we call outcome projection, projecting something into the future to more or less figure out, is that the proper way for us to proceed, or is that part of our performance model? This alternative or this particular aspect of operation, we're going to move in this direction or not, if we're not. How do we know if we want to move in this direction? We do what is called outcome projection. It's part of the decision-making process by which we figure out what is going to occur. What are we going to do about this situation? First and foremost, we have to understand the environment that we are operating in. The environment goes by a number of names. It could be the airborne battle space. It could be the battle space. It could be the problem space. If it is not a combat operation, then it is called the problem space. Basically, it's the same thing. Okay. So what is the environment? What exists within the operational environment? That's the first question that needs to be answered. And then within that environment, within that volume of interest, what exactly is the situation? And we better clarify that as precisely and as accurately as we possibly can. There is a model out there. It's called a situation awareness model, which we can use to help us with situation awareness. What is the situation? We want to be aware of the situation, and we want our awareness to be accurate. We want it to be clear and precise and accurate. What is the situation? Situation awareness model is out there. It is a formal one. There's a number of them out there, by the way, but a formal one has been developed by Dr. Micah Ensley. I would highly suggest that you take a look at it. It could be, you can find it, just Google it. Situation Awareness Model by Ensley, and it comes up. You can also go to YouTube and get the same thing. Basically, you can review it via the YouTube platform to figure out exactly what does the situation awareness model contain. And I'll just briefly mention that it contains perception, comprehension, and projection. Okay, among other things, by the way, but perception, comprehension, and projection are the key elements of the situation awareness model. Why throw in projection? Well, because everything is dynamic and everything is moving. Okay, the earth is rotating. It's moving. We are on a moving platform, by the way. If you don't know it, we are. It's moving through time and space. Everything is moving through time and space. We can go up into the atmosphere and move as well. We can move along the surface. We can move along the subsurface and so forth and so on. Okay, everything is moving. So, situation awareness is the key, one of the keys to mission success. And part of our awareness is our ability to project where everything is going. Or another way of saying that is that if we choose to go in this direction, what does it look like sometime into the future? What does it look like in terms of our ability to be successful? What does that actually look like? So we're doing a projection into the future. We're wondering, a little bit more than wondering, by the way, because this does happen to be an analytical process, which we'll get into later, but we are curious, or we are vitally interested in knowing in some level of understanding, not just complete guesswork, but what could happen if we choose to go in this direction? What is likely to happen if we choose to go in this direction? Okay, often the directions are pretty clear, sometimes they're not. But let's say that we are looking at a number of alternatives when we encounter a particular situation with respect to the operation or the mission, and we have some options before us. We have some alternatives that are, some are pretty obvious, most of them are, some of them are not quite as obvious, but nevertheless, we have a set of options, we have a set of alternatives that we are considering that are before us. When we look at these alternatives or these options, we do what is called, we should do what is called outcome projection. We look at them and say, okay, if we choose to go in this direction, what is the likely outcome? That is what outcome projection is all about. Is it crucial? Yes, it absolutely is. Okay, it absolutely is. If we are going in one of the things that I talked about in my Substack series is the perch. If we are on the perch and we're rolling in to perform a live fire, high velocity air combat exercise, what are we actually doing? We're coming off of the perch, which is the starting point, and we're projecting into the future. All right. If I go in this direction, if I pull this amount of G's, if I accelerate to this velocity, if I obtain this level of energy, what exactly will that give me in the final analysis or the final results? What will I be able to achieve? Okay, that is an ongoing process. What is it called? It's called outcome projection is what it's called. Okay, can we, given this particular activity that we would like to consider, what can we expect with respect to mission success? How successful will we be? And what is in our way, let's say? What is it that that we could encounter or that we will encounter? What exactly is in our way that could negatively impact our ability to perform? All right, so that's all part of this outcome projection methodology, if you will, or this cognitive operation. If we have encountered something, all right, so in other words, everything is not always going to be perfect. And in many cases, things are not ever going to be exactly perfect. There's going to be something that we call an occurrence. We're going to encounter something. We call it an occurrence. We could also call it, if it is in fact a rather significant occurrence, we can call it an event. Okay? If we encounter an event along the way, or a series of events, or a number of events, there is a term for that that we use in aviation. It's called the event set. Okay? Now, we talked about this before, but it's very, very important that we understand what we mean by an event set. An event set means that two or more events have occurred simultaneously or nearly so. Okay? So we can group them into an event set. If we encounter an event set, how does that right now affect our performance, and how will it affect our performance sometime in the future? Okay, that's called outcome projection. So we just don't look at the event in the here and now. Okay, we don't. Why is that important? It's important for a whole host of reasons. We talk about that endlessly. I want to underscore the fact that we do not view reality just within the context of what's happening in the here and now. We take reality and we conceptualize it. We look at reality from a conceptual standpoint. Once we do that, then we can move it along the time horizon, or we can move it along the time axis, however you want to say it, okay? We can move it along the time vector, even, right? They all mean the same thing. In other words, we are not frozen in the present. We can look ahead into some kind of a futuristic context or sometime in the future. What is that called? That's called temporal displacement or forward temporal displacement if you want to get a little bit more accurate in the terminology. Okay, another way of saying that, which means exactly the same thing, is we're moving along the time horizon. We're moving from the present sometime, someplace into the future and back again. So we are very, very agile. All right, we're flexible. We freely move along the time horizon. If we can do that, then we are employing, among other things, our ability to do outcome projection. We are looking into the future, all right, into the near term. We're looking into the future, in near term future, also long term as well, that's possible, but we're looking into the near term. All right, so let me give you a couple of examples. If, in fact, we are moving through time and space and we encounter an event, okay, we're encountering an event, something unexpected has happened. Now, that was brought out crystal clear in the Top Gun Maverick movie, right? They were actually operating in this air combat environment, and Phoenix encountered a bird strike. Okay. What exactly was that expected? No, it was unexpected, but it was in fact a mission critical event. The bird strike occurred, and it produced a rather difficult situation. The situation was, in fact, mission critical. So, the initial encounter or the occurrence was a bird strike. It produced a mission critical situation in that the bird was ingested into the engine and it caused a major engine malfunction. What was it? Well, the engine flamed out, I believe, or the engine caught fire and had to be shut down. Okay, there was an overheat condition, and this is typical. Okay, so the engine had to be shut down. All right, so now with a single engine operation, what do you do? Well, you quickly do a fast forward simulation, which is called outcome projection. Okay, you take a look at it sometime. What does this mean? What is the impact on our ability to get this airplane returned to the base safely without loss of the airplane and possibly a loss of life as well? So the situation is seriously mission critical. Okay, so outcome projection takes over. We are looking at the situation not in the here and now, but we're looking at the situation with respect to some kind of future timeline or some kind of future projection. This is a classic form of outcome projection. We're projecting into the future and we're figuring out the best course of action based upon our ability to project into the future. Okay, so what was going on is in this particular event in the Top Gun Maverick movie when they encountered a bird strike. Okay, so Phoenix encounters a bird strike and FOD is an acronym that we use. It means foreign object damage is what it means. So the engine was FODded. That's a kind of a aviation term. Okay, the engine was damaged. All right. There was a foreign object that was ingested into the engine, and it damaged the engine. Right, so the engine was not able to function properly. In this case, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that the engine overheated, and so Phoenix had Phoenix and her weapon system operator I think his name was, his call sign was Bob, if I remember right. Anyway, so yeah, so they both had to shut down the engine and declare an emergency and start heading back to home base on a single engine. Hopefully, things would not deteriorate further. So they were doing an outcome projection, and then they did something that was inconsistent with a viable emergency operation. Right? They did something inconsistent. Now, this is kind of a lesson, and I know it was probably missed by maybe a large part of the audience, but it was in fact an important part of the movie, Top Gun Maverick movie. Okay, what was going on? Well, what was going on now is in the heat of the battle or in the heat of the event. Okay, there were certain things that were done. There were certain assumptions that were made with respect to an effective outcome projection activity, a cognitive activity. Certain things were done that were inconsistent with a viable or a useful or an effective outcome projection. They tried to restart the engine. Okay, the engine was shut down. They tried to restart it, and that produced a catastrophe. And so the process of outcome projection broke down. Okay, it broke down. And a catastrophe was the result, or a catastrophe ensued was the result. All right, so the airplane caught fire, and they had to eject. And the airplane was lost. Fortunately, the pilot survived the ejection. Okay. All right. So that's that's an example of what I'm talking about. It's now that's an extreme example. Okay. But the reason why I'm throwing that out here is because all of us are familiar with the Top Gun Maverick movie, and all of us are familiar with that particular scene in the Top Gun Maverick movie, where outcome projection was not performed effectively. There were certain assumptions that were made that turned out to be erroneous, okay, and it resulted in a catastrophe. All right, so you can see where this whole thing that surrounds human factors comes into play. What exactly is that? Outcome projection is, in fact, a part of the human factor act, body of knowledge, if you will, or the human factor discipline, or what is contained within the human factor reality, model of reality. What exactly is the human factor model of reality, and why is outcome projection not only part of it, but why is outcome projection the most important part of it? All right, outcome projection is in fact a human activity. That's the bottom line, okay? It's the only cognitive system that we know of that can do that. Okay, now, yes, I know there's going to be some listeners going to say, well, doesn't AI do that as well? Or doesn't AI or machine learning or deep machine learning, don't they do the same thing? And the answer to the question, the short answer is no, they don't. Okay, the long answer is, okay, you misunderstand probably. This is not a criticism now, okay? But there is a misunderstanding about what exactly can artificial intelligence and machine learning do. Artificial intelligence and machine learning is basically what it is. It's a deep dive into the data, and it's data analysis. The data is analyzed in the here and now. Actually, it's analyzed with respect to a past event. The past event captures data, and that data is scrutinized by something or other. It could be it's scrutinized by another software program, possibly. Okay. But that is, does not project into the future. The human mind can actually do outcome projection and do it really quite well. Do we ever want to replace the human mind with a machine that could possibly or theoretically do outcome projection? I don't know why we would ever want to do such a thing, because the human mind, if it is properly trained, can do it not only extremely well, extremely fast, but very, very accurately. Okay, that's where the human comes in. If you're saying, what are the key attributes that the human brings to the battle space? What are the key, another way of saying that, if it's not a military operation, then it's the problem space. But what does the human bring into the battle space or the problem space? The human brings in to that arena with the ability to perform situation awareness, which includes outcome projection. All right. Why does it? Because it's important. It's important that we look at it not just within the here and now. It's important that we look at the situation conceptually, not literally. Okay. When we look at the situation conceptually, what are we doing? Among other things, we are doing outcome projection. That's what we're doing. We're looking sometime into the future, all right, and back again, and then back into the future. So we go back to the present and into the future, and we keep doing that. We keep moving. It's called temporal agility. We keep moving back and forth. All right. Sometimes we go back into the past as well, if necessary. Sometimes we do that. It's called causal inference, if you want to know the technical term. Okay. We look at an event, and then we look at the basic reason why the event occurred. That is called causal inference. That's a technical term for it. And that's something that can be done and should be done in a lot of cases. But we also look into the future. Okay, we're doing outcome projection. So we're doing three things simultaneously, as it turns out. Right, we're taking a look at where did this occur, what is happening right now in the present, and what will likely happen into the future. So we're moving along the time horizon from past, present to future. Okay, and back again. When we look into the future, we're doing outcome projection. Okay, when we encounter a decision, or we have a number of alternatives, all right, so we are moving through time and space very rapidly. Okay, if we're flying a fighter airplane, we're like they do in the Top Gun Maverick movie. They're flying a fighter airplane. They're moving through time and space very rapidly. Okay, if they encounter an event, what are they doing? They are performing outcome projection under increased time compression. Oh, wow, something else is going on here, right? Yeah, something else is definitely going on, okay? Which happens to be, well, we don't have a lot of time to think. Okay, so we're not able to do you were not able to do a ponderous level of thinking and spend a long time just pondering this situation or occurrence or this event. Okay, we don't have a lot of time, so we have to move very, very quickly along the time horizon. We have to do outcome projection, but it has to be done very, very rapidly within the context of the fact that we are under increased time compression. So we're talking about doing something that is within time slice of seconds, not minutes, but seconds. Okay. How in the world could we do such a thing? Well, we have to figure out how to do it, or high velocity aviation is not even possible. So we have to figure out how to do it. Have we done so? Well, we've done a pretty good idea. I don't think we've completely solved the problem, but we have a pretty good idea of how to do it. Okay, what is it? Well, we bring in to our mental mind space, if you will, the mind space of the fighter pilot. We bring in something that we call intuition. Okay, so we have an intuitive feel of not only what's going on in the present, but what could likely happen in the future. It's called intuition. We bring that into the process. So are we saying that we perform outcome projection within the context of human intuition? And the answer is, actually, we do. Okay, yes. If we measure the intuitive ability of a group of aviators, let's say, okay, if we measure their ability to perform intuition or to intuit, there's another term here, if we measure that, what do we find? By and large, we find that the very large majority of this group of aviators that we have selected to evaluate their intuitive abilities, by and large, these people are very highly intuitive. How do we know that? Well, we know that through all kinds of ways. I know that through a number of experiments and evaluations that I have done in the course of my work in this field. Have I done a lot of formal work in this field? The answer is yes, I have. There's a lot of, I have published a lot of journal, peer-reviewed journal articles on the subject. Yes, am I an expert in this field? Yes, you can say that I am. Okay, so I know what I'm talking about. Outcome projection is performed. It is, in fact, a human activity, and it's performed within the context and within the construct of what we call intuition or human intuition. That's how it is performed. So we have an intuitive feel of what is the most likely thing to occur in the future. So we tap into that intuitive module in our cognitive space. We tap into that. We can say it's a mind space. Same thing. We tap into the intuitive model or module, if you will, and we take a look at what is the likely outcome. Okay? Is there a mathematical formula that is consistent with intuition? And the answer is, and I know a lot of people are not going to believe this, all right? But that's the whole point of Throttle Up anyway. We're way outside the box. Yes, there is a mathematical theorem that supports intuition. What is it called? It's called Bayes' theorem, B-A-Y-E-S. So I'm not off on some kind of a tangent here. All right. I am within, I'm operating within the context of what is possible and what is theoretically valid and mathematically rigid, rigorous. Okay. And that's Bayes' theorem. All right. So let me summarize. Outcome projection is the most important thing we do as a human activity. It supports situation awareness. It employs in the it evokes the intuitive capabilities of the human consciousness. Intuition is the key to the effective performance of what we call outcome projection. We have a short video clip that's going to summarize some of the human factors ideas that we're throwing out here, and then we will wrap up this show for this week. Ready to go? Yeah, my audio engineer is here. We go.
To err is human. For this reason, we've made mistakes as we conquered frontiers. And with skies beckoning, we tried and tried to fly, but physics wasn't on our side. Then with a little bit of hot air, we finally beat gravity and powered right into the wild blue yonder. And it wasn't long before we slipped into the First World War. Amazingly, more people were killed by poor decisions and sloppy training than machine guns and dogfights. But with lessons learned, we blitzed our way through into the Second World War. And aviation began to streamline. More power, more dials, more speed, but sadly, a lot more stress. So we introduced science, and the first rudimentary simulators started to trick reality. Then finally, the dust settled, and bombs were replaced by bums. And we soared passengers into the jet age. Pilots went from heroic risk-takers to wearing gold bars and wrangling with computers. And the airlines grew and grew. But so did the human factors. And they came thick and fast. And after several tragedies in the 70s, safety refocused on communication and teamwork. And in the 90s, we really started to look at the whole picture. Not just at work and second jobs, but at home and in play. So now we recognize that human error can occur anywhere, anytime, in any system. So as we build our knowledge of human behavior, we'll continue to boldly go where we've never been before.
Each facet of human factors is interwoven with the other. If an organization doesn't invest in safety, it's impossible for people to be safe.
Aviation is often held up as the paragon of new technology and the future already here. And yet, it's only people, it's only the human who can hold together this complex shifting patchwork of technologies, of communication requirements, of pressures and goal conflicts. It's only the human who can do that. If we don't understand the human factor, we don't understand safety in aviation at all.
Good safety culture, supported by management, is the foundation, so people feel empowered and part of the bigger picture. Like all things, it's about enabling people so everyone contributes from the bottom up with good reporting, action, and feedback.
I don't own safety. The chief pilot doesn't own safety. Anyone you see in our facilities must own safety. Otherwise, you'll never get a generative safety culture.
So in this series, we'll look at several aviation organisations across Australia. We'll get a direct insight into how they manage their safety and human factors.
Aviation is inherently a risky business. Inherently, we work in a high-risk environment. And part of that risk is putting young and enthusiastic people in expensive machines with passengers behind them.
I think it's really making sure that they feel respected within the group and they're part of the group and that they can feel comfortable at any time asking questions and feel that they're not going to be persecuted or feel foolish because of it.
We spend a lot of time and a lot of money into our staff training, but it's a cost of doing business. It's a very important aspect of our business.
And to complete the picture, we'll be gathering the thoughts of industry experts.
We see aeroplanes crashing because very basic parameters like airspeed and altitude are not being monitored at critical phases of the flight.
Often that last link in the chain has actually become the asset and rescued that situation.
Really, the big difference in aviation is the consequences of those errors.
Welcome to a deep dive into the high-flying world of safety behaviours, human factors for pilots.
I implore people to invest in researching and understanding human factors. It will help you not just in your piloting career, but also your personal and corporate life.
Okay, so how much time do we have left? We have 2 minutes to go. All right, so human factors is part of outcome projection. Outcome projection is the key to our mission success. We have to be able to do it. Who else can do it? Nobody. Nobody else can do it than the human. So the human is not just a cog in the machine. A human is a superstructure. It is a within the context of reality, the humans exist in a superposition. I know I'm using a little bit of quantum theory here, but that's the reality of the situation. Humans exist within the superposition. They are the cognitive system. They're the ones that make sense out of all of this stuff, and they make sense out of it by employing a key aspect of the human mind space, which happens to be intuition. A key aspect is intuition. And what does that enable us to do? It enables us to accurately perform outcome projection. Why is it accurate? We'll get into that next time and in future podcast and future radio shows, but that is the sum essence of what we're trying to get across here. Outcome projection is a human endeavor. It employs intuition. We have to have that intuitive feel of what is going to happen sometime in the future if we continue along this course. Okay, are we getting close? We are getting close to the end of another, yes, there it is. Another Throttle Up radio show and podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week.